This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an encouraging devotional message from Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101.
A special prayer segment with the Let's Pray team.
A segment on superfoods for the brain.
And parenting tips from the Parenting Place.
Join us.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, happy National Sugar Cookie Day.
Yummy. I love sugar cookies. Well, friends, we're so excited to be here with you this morning, and summer has been good to us so far. We want to celebrate with sugar cookies as it is National Sugar Cookie Day.
100%. You know, summer is a beautiful reminder of all the goodness of God and how He wants to fill us with His love, hope, joy, and peace.
So friends, as you look around at the flowers around you and enjoy a sugar cookie, we surely pray that you have His peace and joy, not just around you, but we hope you have it in your heart as well.
And we can't wait to share the love of Jesus with you this morning. So let's start by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1941, British cryptologists successfully broke the secret code used by the German army to coordinate ground-to-air operations on the Eastern Front. Prior to this, British and Polish experts had already deciphered many of the Enigma codes used on the Western Front. The Enigma machine, the Germans' most advanced coding device, was essential for transmitting confidential information. Invented in 1918 by Arthur Schierbuse, the machine resembled a typewriter and was initially intended for business use. The German military adapted the Enigma for wartime purposes, believing its code to be unbreakable. However, they were mistaken, as the code was broken and solved.
You know, friend, just as the British and Polish cryptologists faced what seemed to be an insurmountable task in breaking the Enigma code, we often face our own daunting challenges in life. Yet through faith and determination, we can overcome obstacles that appear impossible. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
Amen. Praise God for that. Well, this morning, Dr. Delia McCabe and Gary Kent join us now as they share an interesting segment on superfoods for the brain on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
There's a lot of talk about superfoods today. What are they? Well, join me as we discuss this with a nutritional neuroscientist, Dr. Delia McCabe. Welcome, Delia. So let's get straight to it. What are superfoods?
Superfoods are foods that are nutrient dense, have loads of fiber, and are colorful. We get exotic superfoods, which we find in rainforests and so on, which are very dear, expensive. But we've got loads of superfoods in our supermarkets.
So we're surrounded by some of them. Tell us about them.
Brightly colored berries, full of antioxidants and great nutrients. Nuts, protein, great fats. Dates, nature's candy. Grapes, full of antioxidants, natural form of sugar. Great fats in chia seeds, hemp seeds, and flax seeds. And then we have a few exotic berries, goji berries and golden berries. Fantastic curcumin in the turmeric powder, potent anti-inflammatory, so it's a superfood too. Grains, legumes, fantastic. Behind us, colorful fruits and veggies, avocados, we've got great carbs, sweet potatoes, carrots, broccoli, and cauliflower. Not really colorful, but still really potent.
So I noticed that most of these so-called superfoods are natural foods, they're plant-based foods.
As close to nature as possible, that's the key.
Where's the highly processed, refined stuff?
Shouldn't be anywhere near us or our brains.
So they certainly don't count as superfoods?
Absolutely, exactly the opposite of superfoods.
So what are the benefits of these superfoods?
These superfoods provide the brain with what it needs for its structure in terms of the neuronal membrane and its function in terms of energy supply and the nutrients required to make brain messengers, neurotransmitters.
Delia, thanks so much for sharing this valuable information with us.
The Parenting Place is back this morning to share important parenting tips on debriefing.
Wow, poor kid. I wonder what's in that bag. It looks pretty heavy. He may need some help unpacking that. Kids won't let you anywhere near their baggage until they know that you're on side with them and that you aren't going to tease them or punish them. If you want to talk about important stuff, you have to talk about a lot of stuff that's unimportant first. They might have problems with being bullied, or they're feeling lonely, or they have a crush on someone, it's breaking their heart, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to discuss the latest apps and sports stars and new flavors of ice cream before you can get close to those topics. You need to really work on trust and intimacy. Let's assume my boy here and I do have that sort of relationship. Each night we have a chat about the day, and usually there's nothing too serious, but today he's dragging a big load. Let's see what he's got in that heavy bag. How did it go at school today?
Embarrassing.
Oh, mate, why?
I knocked over the cymbals in assembly, and everyone in the junior school laughed.
So you felt really embarrassed?
Yes. A couple kids laughed at me and pulled stupid faces at me at lunchtime.
Oh, dear.
It's not that bad. I probably won't even see them again in the playground.
Honestly, you don't need a degree in psychology to help your kids. All they need is to get a bit of air on their problems, to revisit their memories, and the pain can just lift away. Some problems might be a bit tougher, though. How's it going with Sam? He was one of your best mates, but you said he doesn't want to hang with you anymore.
He hangs around with other people now. He doesn't even talk to me, but sometimes he yells mean things to me.
Oh, that's really sad. I don't think we can get rid of this one straight away, but I can help you carry it. There are no magic wands. Some worries can be dealt with and others can't. This kid still has problems, but he'll sleep better tonight and walk a little taller tomorrow because he knows his parent is on his team. It's amazing how some kids are dragging around so much baggage like that. It slows them down, it makes them miserable, and some of those bags are very heavy. Sometimes the things our kids are carrying are even too heavy for us to shoulder. If your child is really struggling, don't hesitate. Seek professional help.
Are you enjoying today's show? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us there.
And in just a few moments, the Let's Pray team will join us to pray. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe our program will bring hope and peace to your life.
1 John 5 verse 14 encourages us to pray as it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Friends, He hears us right now. So let's join the Let's Pray team as they lead us in prayer. Let's pray.
It says in Romans 12:10, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." That's what we're going to pray about today. We are not talking about self-hatred, but we're also not talking about false humility or self-deprecating attitudes. We're talking about an intentional desire to bless one another. And may I say, especially when we least deserve it. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the lessons. I am plagued with selfishness, Jesus, and I just confess my need of your love and your forgiveness for that. And I seek, Lord, and I believe that everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, we want to be obedient to your word. And we want this obedience to come from a place of living water and regeneration, not performing and faking and acting, but for it to come from a place that's been regenerated by you, Jesus, to be devoted to one another in love, to refuse offense, to refuse gossip, Heavenly Father, to decide who we want to be and how we want to represent the King before we even get into those situations, Heavenly Father, to be devoted to one another in love. Jesus, we also ask that you would teach us how to honor one another above ourselves. My life as a drug addict, Jesus. I not only didn't honor other people, I didn't honor myself. I honored my emotions. I honored everything except for the things that I should have, much like Gomer, Heavenly Father. But you know, you're so faithful, because when you strip us bare, Jesus, when you take away all those things that we lean on, Father, you restore us. We acknowledge our need of you. We acknowledge that you're the giver, and that we can indeed not just honor you, but because we're honoring you, Father, from that flows relationship that goes outward, so that that honoring can flow, Heavenly Father, to the people around us. Jesus, thank you for teaching me. Thank you for never giving up on us when we blow it again, when we've done really well. And then that old flesh part rises up again, and we need your forgiveness again, so that we can, according to Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love, to honor one another above ourselves. Jesus, I find that when I put others above my needs, you take care of my stuff. That when I pivot to bring your love and your compassion and your kindness to somebody else, and I set myself and my needs and my concerns aside, Jesus, you pick up my cause while I'm loving someone else in a way that you would have me. These types of verses, Father, can leave us feeling like, but is my stuff's not important? Oh, it is. You care powerfully for our stuff. But there's this beautiful thing that happens when we walk in obedience. Our stuff gets handled by the King, while we're being empowered by you to love others. Help us, Jesus, to trust you, to not take these types of verses to feel put off, that you're not important. Oh, we are. And I thank you, Jesus, that you love us. But following you first, Heavenly Father, and the ways that you have indicated to us, seeking your kingdom and your righteousness first, all these things will be added unto us, Jesus, so we can be devoted to one another in love, to honor one another above ourselves. I pray today, Lord, that you would continue to teach us about it, that you would continue to empower us to do so by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would not just do this by demand or performance of some way, Heavenly Father, but that we would believe that you're doing more than we understand, and that we hear you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You're so good to us, Lord. Thank you for loving us as we love others. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Be encouraged. I pray that you're encouraged today, and to know that the Father tenderly and powerfully cares for you and your needs as you look after the needs and the concerns of people around you. God bless you.
Amen. When we return, Jesus 101 will join us to share a faith-filled devotional. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We're so happy you decided to stick around this morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. Jesus 101 joins us to share a most encouraging message.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here. We continue with our Fear Not series. And I know that there are many things that might give us fear. Finances, or the future, or relationships, or things like that. But today I want to talk to you about something different. I want to talk to you about unexpected storms. So today's title is Fear Not Unexpected Storms. You know, things that you were not expecting at all, that you were not planning for, and all of a sudden, bam, it comes. And you're like, what am I going to do about this? I'm going to show you a photo of the last time I was on the Sea of Galilee. This is a big boat, and it was quite a large group, actually. And it's such a beautiful thing to visit the Sea of Galilee. But every time I go, I think of the same thing. I think of this particular storm that we're going to study today, how this storm affected the disciples so rapidly, so quickly that they didn't know what to do. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that. It could be a bad report from the lab. It could be something that happened in society. It can be a fire in our house. It can be any type of thing that we were not counting on, that we were not planning for. And so today we are going to go to this storm on the Sea of Galilee in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. That's where we're going to head today. Verse 23 is where we start. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. It's interesting because these two words actually in the Greek are very interesting. Great is mega. And the storm, Matthew chooses a word in Greek, seismos, that we use for earthquakes, like seismology or seismograph, right? He says this was a mega shaking. It wasn't just a little storm. It was a mega shaking. The Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level, and so it's prone to these storms because the wind comes through the hills. But the size of the boat doesn't help. You know, they discovered from the first century a fishing boat that would have been pretty much the size that Jesus, the boat where Jesus was at, would have been. And so there is a museum in Ginosar in Israel, and they have this boat they discovered in 1986. And we went there, and then this is a little video clip that was taken there. It's such a small boat. It's like 8.2 meters long and 2.3 meters wide. And I tell you, 13 people, if the 12 disciples were with him, this would have been already overcrowded without a storm. But with the storm, they're going down. And the verse says that in this mega seismos, the boat was being covered with the waves. And so you can imagine this hectic moment, this sudden storm. And I brought some little ropes here that I have from my camping equipment. Imagine the disciples on this side of the reality with ropes, trying the best they can, trying to bring the boat in. And then at the end of this same verse, in verse 24, it says, but Jesus himself was asleep. So I have a pillow here for Jesus' reality, and I have the rope for the disciples' reality. And the reason why I brought a pillow is because when Mark tells the same story in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says that Jesus was asleep with his head on a pillow in the stern. So this is a pillow. Jesus is sleeping. They're going crazy. So there are two opposite realities. And sometimes we have to choose which reality we're going to fall into when we hit a sudden storm. And so Jesus is sleeping. And they came to him, verse 25, and woke him saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. Again, this same reality of the desperate cry for help. And the fishermen in this case are coming to the carpenter for help. They've been in storms many times, but this storm is different. And it's interesting because the Greek original language here has only three words. In English, there are more, but in Greek, it says something like, Lord, save, perishing. You know, when you only have those one word prayers left because the storm is so strong, so fierce that you only get some words to pray. That's where the disciples are. Lord, save, perishing. And Jesus says on the same verse, on the next verse, verse 26, why are you afraid? You know, this rope versus pillow reality. You know, they're going crazy with the boat and he's like asleep. And they're saying, please save us, we're perishing. And Jesus says, why are you afraid? What do you mean why? Isn't it obvious why? Because we're in the middle of a storm that we cannot control. We can't fix it. We don't even understand it. So he addresses their fear before he addresses the storm. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? So obviously the faith level has something to do with which reality we choose in the middle of the sudden storm. Then, after he talked to them about their fear and their faith, he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea as if they were two misbehaving children. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and he became perfectly calm. So what is interesting about the Greek is that the perfectly calm now is the word mega again. They got a mega calm. Before, they had a mega sismos, a mega shaking, and they couldn't control it, and Jesus was sleeping. They asked for help, and Jesus said, "Why are you afraid?" And then they had a mega shaking. He brought a mega calm. There's always two realities in every sudden storm. One is that we can't control it. We can't fix it. And the other one is that Jesus is in the boat. And the reason why he could sleep is the same reason why I could sleep when I was a little kid. You know, when we went on trips, I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I didn't know when even storms came on the road. But my daddy was driving, and that was good enough for me. Well, Jesus is sleeping for the same reason. His daddy is in control of the storm, and our daddy is in control of the storm. They were so amazed, says verse 27, the men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Jesus would have power not only over nature, but if you continue reading, he would have power over demons, over disease, and even over death in the next chapter or so. So God is in control of all of our sudden storms. We are not. God is with us. And what is important to remember is that the storms don't catch Jesus by surprise. He knows the storms. And even though we may feel powerless, remember this, we are powerless. As we have said in another program, we are powerless, but Jesus is powerful. So the same way that he has saved us, and I think it's very interesting to remember this, we couldn't save ourselves. We were powerless over saving ourselves. And Jesus was powerful to save us through his blood at the cross. The same way that our salvation works, our daily lives work. So when we are facing, you know, sudden storms that we cannot do anything about, that we don't understand, can't fix, and can't control, remember, God is powerful, and he will see you through. After all, peace is not the absence of trouble. Is the presence of Christ. He's in our boat. He's God with us. So fear not sudden storms.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. That was a blessing.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We'll have another inspiring devotional, music, a short talk on saving money, and much more. Be sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides and discover what the Bible has to say about a variety of different topics.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website. We're sure you'll be blessed.
And here at Wake Up with Hope, we are passionate about filling your life with the hope that is found in Jesus. And we have to go for now, but before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. And it says,
"The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forevermore." Psalm 121:7-8.
What a comforting promise, friends, to know that God has promised that wherever we go, he watches over us. He is our protection and our guide. You know, what a beautiful promise.
Amen.
Take hold of it today and walk with him, never letting go of his forever guiding hand.
Amen. Thank you so much, friends, for spending time with us this morning, and we wish you a happy Tuesday.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, today there is no way that we could face this day without you. You are definitely someone that we need in our life, because without you, we can do nothing. And so we thank you for the promise. We thank you for the hope-filled content that fills our hearts right now. And we pray, Lord, that you would guard our hearts so that none of it is pulled away from us. Thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.